Well, that'll kind of give you a good idea of the things that Light in the Darkness Ministries is involved in Rotan Island. And you probably noticed that we've already had our youth camp for this year. Honduran schools run on a schedule that's a calendar year. They start about the middle of February, and they run till the middle of November, and that's their school year. We've already had our summer break, which was the middle of November to the middle of February. Of course, we do have four seasons in Honduras. It's hot season, and then hotter season, and then really, really hot season, and then you're about to die hot season. So that's kind of the four seasons that we run through. If you can make it through a savanna summer cutting grass with Brother Jeffrey, then you can make it on Roatan Island. That's the way that things are. So we've had our summer break, and this year we had our youth camp. Every other year, we take it from the mainland over to the island to the mainland. This year, it happened to be on the mainland. Brother Ethan Binkley was the night speaker. Brother Grant returned as our day Bible teacher for the boys. Sister Brittany returned as our day Bible teacher for the girls. We had a wonderful youth camp. God really moved in the youth camp. We had 111 on the grounds. It's our seventh year. 83 or 4 of those were campers. And we had 5 churches represented. Had a new church come this year that had never come before. Their church that was founded as an Amish group and then became Mennonites, and now they want to have Pentecost. And so they've come out of the Mennonite group, and they wanted to come to youth camp, heard about it through the Sumners, came on over to youth camp, sent about 20-some-odd young people. The first night, church service, we had one of those old-fashioned gully washers, swing from the chandelier, run the backs of the pews kind of church services, and we told the young people to raise their hands, so the Mennonite kids had their hands up, but their eyes were just a little bit wide as they looked around at everything that was going on. And I told them to come to the altar, and they of course were very obedient, came to the altar. But Brother Mark, by the end of the week, the Lord was moving those young people right along with the other young people that have experienced Pentecost before, were seeking the baptism of the Holy Ghost. When they got back to Guaymaca, Honduras, the city that they live in, they told us they did a bonfire because so many of them had things that they wanted to get rid of in their lives. And it's a wonderful thing when young people find themselves wanting to rid themselves of the things that are holding them back and stretch closer to the Lord. So I ask you to pray, especially for the Honduran young people, and I know many of y'all are on your way right now to youth camp. I feel like youth camp is very important. I feel like it's a time where young people can set themselves aside, begin to seek the face of the Lord, and have things that can happen in their life that can ground them and root them for the rest of their life in that experience. So I want you to pray for Honduran young people. There was a young man that won Best Camper this year. He was from the Guaymaca Church. He is from the Guaymaca Church. His name is Nain Eder. And Nain was a very talented young man, can play just about anything on the platform. But Nain was diagnosed recently with leukemia, and the doctors put out word, and they contacted us that it's a very serious situation, and there's not a whole lot of hope for Nain. So I'd like y'all to put that on your prayer list, that you'd pray specifically for Nain. One thing, he's a great young man. I believe God could use him in the work of the Lord. But I also think if Nain were to receive healing in his body, it would show that church that Pentecost is real for today. So I'm asking y'all to really put Nain down on your prayer list to pray for Nain Ether. If you can't remember his name, just say the best camper at the Honduran youth camp, that God would help him and move in his life. Of course, we do a lot of children ministry still, something we believe in and love. While the little kids were up singing, Lydia said, "Daddy, when you have a grandchild," I said, "I know, I'm going to be embarrassing because I just love it. I love watching the kids get up and sing with all their heart, and we love working with the children." But we're able to go into the public schools, and since we were here last time, we were able to purchase a vehicle. It's a 2007 Toyota Prado. It's a four-wheel drive diesel vehicle that can get us anywhere on that island. And so that's completely changed the parameters that we were operating within. And now we're able to travel across the length of the island. Now, it's only 40 miles long. But it's obvious I'm not going to tote a suitcase 40 miles in one day. So I'm glad we have a vehicle that can drive us across the island. And we found out that there are 2 school districts on the island, and the furthest east school district has over 40 kindergarten and elementary schools. The superintendent of that district asked us if we would please go into every single school that's in his district. And in his words, take the gospel of Jesus Christ to our children. So we're able to go in, set up our puppets, and have a quick presentation with puppets and skits, much like we did here in the children's church and much like we did in the school. J-Bo is alive and well here. He was called Clunky. There he's J-Bo. And so we have a great time with the young people and the children. God's done a great work in those lives. And it's really interesting when you're walking through downtown, some child comes and runs up, throws their arms around your waist, and well, they try to, but anyway, they throw their arms around you and say, "You remember me? You came to my school." Well, we have a wonderful time with the kids, but it's really great when you give an altar call and children raise their hand that I want to be saved. I've even seen teachers in the back of the room with tears going down their face as they pray. So pray for us as we go into the schools. And I have a request for you on that line as well. When we lived in Mexico, we started working with children in our front yard, just a little plastic tables, plastic chairs, and outgrew our front yard, so we rented a small building, a fraction of the size of this platform, and we rented that little building. We outgrew that, and so we started went to another building. And while we were having children's services, mothers started coming. The mothers started memorizing Scripture. The mothers started earning points, and they started wanting to purchase things from the store like the kids were. And from that, we were able to start a church. Brother Ryan was able to go see it while we were in Mexico, and that's the pattern that we want to follow in Roatan Island, Honduras. So I'm asking God to give us pieces of property upon which we can build these kids' kitchens, these children's places to meet, and then from that have churches start. I want it to be in the communities where the young people and the children live. And I'd like to see God do that. Well, I'm a dreamer, so I think I told Adonna, I said, let's ask God for 5 pieces of property. She says she's a realist. I say pessimist, but she says she's a realist. And she said, David, we cannot have 5 until we have 1. Let's pray and ask God for 1. I said, you ask for 1, I'm going to ask for 5. So we're asking God to give us pieces of property that we can build on and actually have stationary places to minister to the children and to adults right there in Roatan Island, Honduras. And so I want y'all to pray for the children, young people of Honduras. Face a very difficult battle. They face a very difficult life. Even many of the bus kids that you pick up, they face those same circumstances. Most of the young people in Honduras face life without a father figure. Most of them face life even without a mother figure. And many of them are being raised by great grandparents or great aunts or even people that just out of the kindness of their heart have taken them in. There's a young lady named Tanya that goes to the church that we work with in Roatan. And Tanya, when she was very small, was with her mom. They went downtown, saw a friend. She asked her friend if she would watch her baby for just a little while, and Tanya's mother never returned to get her. And so from just a very small child, Tanya has spent her life with a feeling and a sense of abandonment. Tanya has this, actually it's become her psyche, it's become who she is. She identifies as a person who was abandoned. And I've watched the Lord begin to deal with Tanya at different occasions. I've seen her come to the altar, I've seen God really start to work in her life. But she gets to a certain point, and it's as if she can't get any further, and maybe has the idea that even God, if she fully trusts Him, even God will abandon her. And we want to see God do a work in the lives of these young people that can change them and turn them around and show them that that cycle of sin does not have to continue. That cycle of sin doesn't have to carry on. You see, if you were to come to the church we work with, it'd be hard-pressed to find a lady that didn't have a child out of wedlock. All the way back to the most senior of our saints that's there, that cycle of sin is evident in their lifestyle. So I want you to pray that God would help us to reach these Honduran children and young people for Him. Tabitha and Lydia have begun to branch out in their own areas of ministry. Tabitha began the latter part of last year as a translator in a low-income health clinic. She started working out with a pharmacist, and she interprets between the doctors and the pharmacist. The way the lady runs this low-income health clinic is she has Americans who are talented and gifted and skilled in the medical field. And they come down, they'll spend 2 weeks or 3 months or a period of time there volunteering. volunteering their skills and working in that clinic, allowing the Hondurans then to come at a much lower price than is required in other areas. And so you have an American doctor who's doing an exam. He's telling the pharmacist, who is completely Spanish, what the need is. And so sometimes there can be a block there. So Tabitha's working in between them. And because of that, she's really enjoying that work. But she's also finding out that there are areas of ministry that our family can reach out in. She's in the clinic one day and they had a patient coming in. She pulled her file up on the computer and this young lady was 23 years old. Tabitha's 23 years old. This young lady was walking down the hallway of the clinic and she was adamantly declaring, "I will not keep this baby. I do not want this child. I will leave this child at the hospital." Tabitha looked on her chart. She's a 23-year-old mother expecting her 8th child. And she was tired of the life that she'd been saddled with. And so it gave Tabitha an understanding that there are people out there that desperately need God in their lives. And another occasion, she was interpreting for an ENT doctor who actually lives on the island, volunteers every Wednesday. And a little boy came in about 7, 8 years old. They had him open his mouth and you could see a tumor in his throat. And when they had to tell the mother that this tumor has got to come out, Tabitha said the hopelessness that struck her face was just unforgettable, because she realized as this mother heard that, she had no recourse, she had no finance, she had no way to get this done, but it was something that had to be done. So it's opened the door for us in a lot of different areas, and the girls want to be a part of the young people's lives in Honduras. Lydia's been invited to begin working in another clinic on a different part of the island. And because of seeing these young ladies expecting children very early, you see, the average age for a young woman to begin to have children in Honduras is 15 years old. It's nothing uncommon to see young girls with babies. And so our girls want to start something like a girls' club where they can bring girls in from age 7 to 11, teach about women in the Bible, teach about women in the holiness movement like Sister Gail Myers, Sister Shirley Savage, and different folks, that they can show that if you give your heart to the Lord, God can guide you through the pitfalls of this life. And they really want to just become friends with these young girls so that when they reach those critical points in their life, they have someone upon whom they can lean. So we want y'all to pray for Tabitha and Lydia. She has some Honduran coffee that they sell as a fundraiser for their ministry. If you'd like to buy some Honduran coffee, I know you'd enjoy it, and it's a lot cheaper than Starbucks and tastes a whole lot better. So you can talk to Lydia about that after service. When we were here last, we were also in the church looking for a bus, and individuals here in this church gave sacrificially to help that need. And just a few months ago, the pastor called me or WhatsApp messaged me, and he said, "Brother David," he said, "we got the bus. And it have air conditioning." So they're real excited about having a bus with air conditioning. The pastor's son now wants to move into the bus and live in the bus so he can sleep with air conditioning. But it's been a great blessing to the church already. They wanted us specifically to thank you for helping them. They wanted to thank the students that were able to come to Roatan a couple years ago, Brother Ryan, for allowing them to come. And they really want y'all to know that they pray for you, and they request that you pray for them. And then finally, before I get into the message tonight, when we were here before, we let you know that we were having to go into Honduras on tourist visas. They were giving us 90 days that we were able to go to Honduras and stay. We were trying to go about 3 times a year. Tickets costing between $750, $850 per person for us is extremely expensive. So I began to ask the Lord how we could get a visa like we had when we lived in Mexico. And in another one of those chance encounters, if you believe in chance encounters as a child of God, we found ourselves at an outdoor chicken restaurant where they grilled chicken, and we were eating. Saw some Americans come in. They prayed for their meal. We pegged them as possibly Christians. And so we started talking to them. And sure enough, they were in a fellowship that facilitates independent missionaries receiving resident visas to live and preach in Honduras. And through that, we joined that group, and just as we were leaving Honduras, we received our residency cards, and so I'm now a resident of Honduras. I'm a catracho. So I realized mine had a mistake on it. I actually, believe it or not, received a green card. I have permission to work in Honduras. And mine, it's supposed to say religious, and the other said religious. Mine says that I'm allowed to work. So I pointed out to them that I had an error on my card. And the way that I know I'm a genuine, real Honduran now is they said, yes, that is our mistake, but you will have to pay to fix it. So I knew that I was a real Honduran. So I want y'all to help us pray that God would provide. I began to ask the Lord how, if we're not going to be able to come out periodically, how can we provide for the needs of Light in the Darkness Ministries? I feel like God gave me the idea of the faithful 50. If we can find 50 churches, individuals, Sunday school classes that will do much like this church does, families that will do like individuals in this church do, and support our ministry on a basis of $50 a month, it'll give Sister Nita more work, but it will provide us with the opportunity to live year-round in Honduras. Our next trip in, we're buying one-way tickets. I don't know when we're going to come back, and we're hoping to be able to stay at least 9 months if that's possible. So if you'd like to be a part of the Faithful 50, I know that it'd be a blessing to us, and I believe it'd be a blessing to you as well. And I believe when you get to heaven, even though we're on a Caribbean island, you might meet a boy named Wellington. You might meet a young man named Heidel. You might meet a girl named Santos. But you'll meet them, and they'll tell you thank you for giving to Light in the Darkness Ministries, and because you gave, now I'm here and I've heard about Christ. So pray about that, and I believe that God will help each and every one of us to win the loss. I have a specific prayer request about our next trip. I contacted our travel agent and spoke to her about going. She quoted a price. A little bit later, she sent a new price, and it was much better, and it's on a humanitarian missionary ticket. It enables us to carry 3 suitcases each, 50 pounds each suitcase, and the prices were very good. And as I was in the process of sending our information, took a couple days to get all the needed information, the tickets jumped up again. So I'm going to ask y'all to pray. I told her I'd contact her tomorrow. If y'all would, pray with me that between now and tomorrow, those tickets will again drop so they'll be much more accessible for our family. Amen? Anybody help me with that? All right. Well, I think I got about 20, Brother Ryan. No, I'm just kidding. Y'all all offered to help, so we appreciate that. And I believe that God will move. And how many of you enjoyed the pictures of your young people? Wasn't that great seeing them in ministry? I told Brother Grant when he was there, and I know his dad may fall out with me here, but I said, Grant, do you feel like you're called to missions? And he said, well, I don't really know. I don't think so. I said, I think you need to revisit that. Grant adapted so extremely well. I think I saw one time he ate thirds of the food there at camp. And he just adapted quite well, and everybody did real good. And we appreciate y'all sending them. Some of the young people still ask about these young folks that came down. They ask what they're doing, how they're doing, and they'd like y'all to know that they love and appreciate you. Amen. So continue, please, to pray for Light in the Darkness Ministries. If you'd like to be a part of the Faithful 50, on the table in the foyer, there are some prayer cards. Most of you probably have one, but if you don't get one, just speak with Sister Nita, and she'll be able to help you with that. And we do like for you to take one of those prayer cards and put them somewhere that you'll remember to pray for our family, that God would keep His hand upon us. You never know when somebody's appendix is about to rupture. Currently, in our family, Tabitha, Lydia, and LaDonna do not have gallbladders or appendixes. So if there's another one, I'm a little worried about it. So I need y'all to pray that God will keep His hand upon us and help us. Amen. While we're traveling back to Texas, I ask y'all to pray. Our Suburban has 362,000 miles. Brother Brian helped us get that Suburban. It's been a great vehicle for us. It even got stolen while we were in Guatemala. It was in Texas and got stolen. And unfortunately, they brought it back. But amen. Let's turn our Bibles tonight, the book of Ephesians, chapter number 3. I was over at Brother Gentry's this morning, and I asked him how long I was supposed to preach, and Brother Steve said, preach till 2:30. And nobody blinked except his daughter that goes to school here. And afterwards, she said, I'm used to Brother Ryan's preaching, so I'm kind of pressed here. He's such a great preacher and can do it in such a quick amount of time. Lydia gets nervous if the whole thing takes longer than 45 minutes, presentation and all. So I'm going to try not to hold you real long, but I feel like God has impressed my heart with a message that I think we need to try to remember. Sometimes as Pentecostals, especially folks that have been in church for a while, we get accustomed to hearing the preaching of the Word of God. And a church like Savannah hears some fine preaching on a regular basis. People that come through, the pastor, the staff, others that preach, just great preaching from behind this pulpit. And so many times we get to where we overlook the simplest things of God's Word. I want to preach in Ephesians chapter number 3, begin reading in verse number 16 through 21. Paul, writing to the Ephesian believers, said that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye may be filled with the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Again, verse number 18, Paul says, I want you to be able to comprehend what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height, and to know the love of Christ. If God would help, I want to preach a little while on God's love. A simple thought, but a thought that we must come to each and every day that we live. God is love. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your mercy. We thank you so much that you loved us enough to send your Son. Jesus, we thank you that you loved us enough that you died upon the cross, that you gave your life for us. You gave us freedom from sin, deliverance from bondage. And I pray, God, that we would constantly, every day, remember your love. And God, as we have received that love, help us in turn to give that love to a lost and hurting world that feels loveless and feels that they do not have anyone that cares for their soul. I pray, God, that you'd move in this altar in just a few moments. We ask it in the name of our Lord Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. Paul says that he wants us to know the love of God. He wants us to be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height, and to know God's love. Well, if you begin to talk about love, one of the things we realize very quickly is it is a subject that is something that we cannot actually truly define. Why does a young man fall in love with another young lady? Why does that young lady fall in love with that young man? Why did she choose him? Why did he choose her? There are times that we just don't understand love. Sister LaDonna's not here. I guess she might still be listening if the connection's good, but since she's not here, I can tell you it happened for us at Camp Copus, Texas. We were in youth camp. Back in the day, natural curly hair was not in style. They didn't have straighteners, so Sister LaDonna would wet her hair down and use those great big dog food cans and roll her hair on these large dog food cans, trying to make that natural curly hair she has to be straight. And the first time I saw that Minnie Mouse, I thought, whoo, that is one cute gal. And I thought, that's somebody I'm going to have to get to know. I was smitten from day one. And church, I want to tell you that July 3rd will mark 25 years of marriage for she and I. Who can explain love? Her dad said it would never last, but it's still going on. Who can explain love? Have you ever watched a mother with a newborn child? Is there anything more beautiful than a mother with her firstborn child, as she looks down upon that child and realizes that this is flesh of my flesh, this is my child? And the love that goes between a mother, the bond, is something that we can hardly understand. Who can fathom love? And yet Paul said, I want you to know the love of Christ. Have you ever seen the tender love of an adult child as they care for the life of their parent, when that parent's mind has begun to slip? ship. Have you ever watched when the roles begin to reverse and they begin to care for the one that cared for them? A prettier and a more precious love there hardly is upon this earth. Who can understand God's love? I believe that Paul, in writing to the Ephesian church, expressed his desire that they know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge. It seems as if Paul is contradicting himself when he says, I want you to know the love of Christ. However, it passeth knowledge. I want you to know God's love, but it is something that you can't know. What was it Paul was trying to get across? What was it that Paul was trying to get us to understand? It seems there are some things in this life that we can know without being able to explain or fully understand it. God's love, though inexplicable, can be known. Amen. If you're here tonight and you feel like there is nobody in this world who truly loves me for who I am, I want to tell you, God loves you. And you may not be able to understand it, but you can know it. God's love, first of all, is infinite. The Bible says in the simplest of verses, for God so loved the world. The writer could have said God loves the world. He could have said God loved the world. But he put that word so in there to emphasize that God's love is something that is great. God's love is something that is infinite. It goes beyond our time. We are creatures of time. We're controlled by time and space. But the Bible says that God so loved. Amen. In Jeremiah 31 and 3, the Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Amen. If you're here tonight and you don't truly know the love of God, maybe you've been coming to church for a long time, I want to tell you, God so loves you. Amen. He has loved you with an everlasting love. That great song, the love of God, says the love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. The guilty pair bowed down with care. God gave his son to win. His erring child he reconciled and pardoned from his sin. That love goes greater than we could ever imagine. That love goes farther than we could ever dream. That love goes deeper than we can ever sound. They say that when they were working in the Arctic, they began to sound the sea, and they had a rope, and they put the rope down into the water, and the captain of the ship wrote, deeper than that. And then he tied another rope to it, and he sounded again, and he wrote, deeper than that. He took every piece of rope on that ship, put it down into the water. It never came to the bottom, and he wrote, deeper than that. Church, I want to tell you, the love of God is infinite. It will never come up short. Man created units of measurement, yet still cannot measure God's love. Man has been to distant planets, yet still cannot measure God's love. You see, God's love was given. He said in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave. Not only is it infinite, it'd be something if we knew that God's love was infinite. It'd be amazing to us if we knew that God's love was without measure. But the fact of the matter is, he didn't keep his immeasurable love to himself, but he gave it. He offered it to you. He extends it to you. He gave it out freely. The Bible says, for he gave his only begotten son. 1 John 4:9, in this was the manifest, the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten son into the world that we might live through him. Verse 10 says, hearing his love, not that we loved God, but that he first loved us, sent his son to be the propitiation for our sin. Church, I want to tell you, God loved you, and he loves you so immensely that we cannot measure. But the fact is, he's given it to you. He has offered it to you. He's presented it to you. And all you have to do is accept that love of God. That chorus says, oh, love of God, how rich and pure how measureless and strong. It shall forevermore endure the saints and angels' song. That love was offered to you. You may have been coming to church for a long time, but so many times in our walk in this life, we face difficult circumstances. We face circumstances we don't understand. We face problems that we go through and we wonder, what in the world am I going to do? I'll tell you, God's love was given, so all we must do is simply receive it. All we must do is simply accept that love. God, rich in mercy, gave us love. God, pure in holiness, gave us love. God, great in grace, gave us love. God, mighty in power, gave us love. God, just in judgment, gave us love. God, redeeming in salvation, gave us love. Can we understand love? Paul said, I want you to know the love of God. Not only is God's love infinite, not only is God's love given, but God's love is inclusive. God's love is for all. God's love covers all. He said in John 3:16 that whosoever believeth in Him. Whosoever believeth in Him. There's a brother in the church in Roatan plays the guitar. His name is Wellington. Brother Wellington will duck his head. He'll tell you, I have 22 children, different ladies. He'll say, I was not a good person before I got saved, but God loved Wellington. Amen. Amen. When I was a boy, growing up, my dad walked in one night. He said, Dave, get your sisters. I no longer love your mother. His love ended. His love stopped. He claimed his love was over. But I want to tell you, God's love is for all. No matter what you've done, no matter the lies you've told, not even the lies you tell to yourself, God's love is inclusive. It says that whosoever believeth in Him, whatever you've done, whatever your past, man may remember, but the Bible tells us that God loves you so much that no matter who you are, no matter where you are, no matter what you've done, no matter where you've been, no matter the past you carry, the baggage that's there, no matter the memories that are in your mind, no matter the scars that are upon your life, God said, I love whosoever. Amen. I've seen God love the drunk on the street. I've seen God love the pastor's child. I've seen God love the man walking down the road. I've seen God love the child raised in the house. I want to tell you, God loves each and every one. That song says, when hoary time shall pass away and earthly thrones and kingdoms fall, when men here refuse to pray, on rocks and hills and mountains call, God's love so sure shall still endure, all measureless and strong, redeeming grace to Adam's race, the saints and angels' song. That's my song. That's the song I sing, because there was a day that a liar, there was a day that a cheat, there was a day that someone that didn't love God back the way God loved him found that love and accepted it as his own, and now carries the gospel telling this lost and dying world there is a God that loves. When earthly thrones and kingdoms fall. I know we placed a lot of stock in our last election, but I'm going to tell you, if America doesn't repent and come back to God, even this kingdom will fall. But when it does, God's love shall endure. England had an election, didn't turn out the way they thought it was going to. Now they're having all kinds of action, trying to get things fixed up and straightened out. France is trying to put together a parliament. All these things are going on in the world in which we live. When those kingdoms fall, God's love shall still endure. He will still reach out to the Islamic man on the street. He will still love the Hindu that worships many gods. He'll still love the ignorant that does not even know who he is or where he's come from. He'll still love the one that has rejected him out of a purposeful heart. God loves all. The Bible says he's not a respecter of persons. It says he's the same for the Jew and the Greek. And he loves all of us. But best of all, church, one of these days, God's love shall reward. God's love will return. God's love will not come back void. Our love for Him will come back in an intangible way. The scripture goes on in John 3:16, should not perish, but have everlasting life. That is the reward of the child of God. There will come a day when all your struggles will be over. There will come a day when all your sickness will be gone. There'll come a day I never had to take another shot. There'll come a day when you don't wake up in pain. There'll come a day when the temptation of the mind is gone. There'll come a day when the torment of the mind is past. Amen. Because God's love rewards. He loves to give to His children. The Bible says He watches after the sparrow and makes sure that the sparrow has food enough to eat. How much more will God reward those who love Him? John 14:1, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. And you know, if that were the end of it, Brother Ryan, that'd be a great place to start. In my Father's house are many mansions. But that's not the reward of loving God. That's not the reward of receiving that love of God. He said, if it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if that was the end of it, that'd be beautiful. But He didn't stop there. He said, if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And that, church, is the reward of loving God. There's going to come a time where we are forever in the presence of an almighty God, where we are no longer tempted by this world, where we are no longer drawn by this world, but I am forever in the presence of my Redeemer. That is God's reward. Could we with oak, could we with ink, the ocean fill, where the skies of parchment made, where every stalk on earth a quill and every man a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry, nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. If each of us could take a pen and begin to write the things that God has done for us, the love that God has shown for us, if the sky were parchment, we would run out of place. We would run out of time, because God's love is for us, and He will reward us with a life that is with Him in eternity. A moral soul cannot enjoy an everlasting reward. A kind person cannot endure and earn the splendors of heaven. A good life cannot expect the eternal presence of the Savior. God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Amen, Brother Mark, if you could come. I believe Paul was fully aware of the fact that man upon this earth will forever struggle to comprehend the breadth and the length and the depth and the height. I believe Paul was fully aware of that. But what Paul desired for the Ephesian church and for you and I is that we would not just know God's love, but that we would experience God's love. That we would experience God's love. And when this world, in the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, begins to seduce us away from where we used to be in God, away from that intimate relationship that we once had with the Lord, away from that personal, daily walk with God, when this world begins to draw us away, we're in effect stepping away from the infinite, inclusive, given love of God. In receiving God's love, we know God's love. In accepting God's love, we know God's love. In experiencing God's love, we can know God's love. Could we stand tonight? Lord, I know that it seems like today we've allowed some to come in and take preaching about your love out of our pulpits. Lord, we've allowed some to come in and to twist and turn the truth of your love. Lord, I can't explain love. Even in the words of great songwriters, I cannot explain love. But Lord, it is my desire that each individual here tonight would experience a new love in you. That they would find a new love in you. That their love for self, their love for this world, their love for other things would diminish until they're gone. And the only thing left in our life is a love for You. God, we live in a world, in a society especially, Lord, that is so drawn away from Your true love. I pray, God, You'd turn us back as a church to Your love. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Could we find a place, church? Begin to seek the face of God. If your love has grown cold, if you know you've stepped away from where you were, if you know that you are not loving the Lord with a love like you once had, I ask you to repent, to ask God to restore, to pour upon your heart that great love.